Wow. Well, I hope you're all doing really well and that you've been enjoying the sunshine during lockdown. I've been saying the whole time that the sunshine has felt like a kiss from heaven to see us through. And I hope you're enjoying it as much as we have been. Well, you know, I believe that God wants to stir something up in our hearts today. So I want to lead us in prayer. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to jump straight into the word. So right now, why don't you just shut your eyes? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we come before your word with faith and expectation. Father, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of your people and stir up new life. Let new roots and new shoots break forth in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, in fact, my daughter just played me a song this morning with these words in it. But one of my favorite scriptures, my husband just referenced while he was praying. And it's what it says in Romans 8:28. And it says, for all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So let me ask you a question. Sorry, Romans 8, not 9. All things work together for good, and it might be wonderful, to those who love God. Now, I want to ask you a question, because you probably all know that scripture anyway. How is this season going to work together for your good? How is lockdown going to produce great things for you? Because I know that for all of us, there has been difficulties. It's been difficult for you and for everyone. You know, for some more than others. And yet, Scripture still promises that all things will work together for good. So that is what I want to talk about today, about how we get there. I'm calling today's message the opportunity. And so stay with me because we're going to go somewhere. So in Genesis chapter 26 and verse 1, just the first few lines, the first few words of that chapter says, there was a famine in the land. That's all I want to read from that. There was a famine in the land. Now, it might be obvious what it is, but I want to remind you what famine means. A famine, in the dictionary, is a time of extreme scarcity of food in a large geographical area. So during famine, there is not much food, right? Now, just stay with me because we're going somewhere today. Now I want to jump forward in that chapter to Genesis chapter 20, still in Genesis 26, to verse 12. So this is a time when there's extreme scarcity of food. People haven't got enough to eat. We can only imagine that some people, many people, must have been dying at the time. You know, and have you ever lived in an era when you have heard about so much death and so much dying, not only in our nation, we've heard of death at a large scale in other nations, but never so much of that in our nation. And so in this time of famine, when there was a scarcity of food, the Bible says from verse 12, it says, then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Now, I am not talking right now about offering. I'm talking about something else. You see, here we have a time of famine, a time of scarcity, a time of poverty, a time of lack, a time of darkness, a time where families in that place will have been afraid. They will have been afraid for their loved ones. They will have been afraid about their future. A time when people would have thought, oh my goodness, I need to keep what I have, the little that I have, but is it going to be enough? At a time when nobody knew what tomorrow would hold. That was the context of that time. You know, does that ring any bells? But you see, this is what I want you to hear. You see, Isaac in that place wasn't going, oh my goodness, where am I going to get food from? How am I going to feed my wife? How am I going to feed my family? This is difficult. No, this man said, how can I become part of the solution to the problem in my nation? How can I arise and have answers to the questions that everyone else is asking? You see, Isaac didn't think that what he did was about giving and receiving. And let me tell you, I know that in New Covenant, New Testament times, this is a message about sowing and reaping. It absolutely is. But that's not what Isaac was thinking about in that moment. You see, at a time when the world was hungry, or his world was hungry, he obeyed God. Because you see, God said, don't leave this land that's in famine. I'm going to do something through you in the midst of the famine. You see, do you remember we started by saying all things work together for good? But you see, God wants to use you to bring good for others. I want you to stay with me today. God wants to use you to shine like a light in the darkness in this time. God wants to use you as someone who's going to bring answers and solutions to your family, your neighborhood, your community, even your nation. And you see, in order for us to work out, well, God, what answers have I got? We got to do something really simple. What does it say in Matthew chapter 7? It says, he who asks, and if you look at it in the Amplified, it says, he who asks and keeps on asking, he who asks receives. He who seeks finds. He who knocks, the door will be opened. You see, God wants to use you. My brother, my sister, God wants to use you in this time. He wants to do something through you that is not just going to help you, but help many. And how are we going to find out what it is that God wants to use us to do? We're going to go to God. You see, what is this for us harvesters? And you can join with us, you know, around the world and understand this word that God gave us about 2020. He gave us a word. God gave us a word for 2020, and he said to us that this was our year of pressing. I'm so glad that we were prepared for the year that unfolded, because we've been pressing in prayer. We've been pressing into his presence. We've been pressing in the word. But right now, I want to ask you to press one more time. Well, not one more time. We're going to press all year. But I want to ask you to press into the answers that your nation needs. Will you do that? Will you be that man who will stand in the gap and say, Lord, speak to me. Give me a solution. Give me something. You know, it says in Proverbs 29, verse 2, it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Do you know what, my brother, my sister? This is time for promotion for the body of Christ. This is a time for you to arise. This is a time for you to start to believe for promotion, for prosperity, for increase. Why? Because when wealth is in the hands of a righteous person, it can reach those who need it. When wealth is in the hands of someone who's wicked, there are problems. You know, let me tell you, when I first met my husband, I was in Bible school. And, you know, at the time, I really had absolutely not only no interest in prosperity, but I actually thought that it was a bad thing. I thought that somehow lack was more holy and spiritual. And maybe you're from that kind of background as well. And it was a really long journey for me to get that mindset, that quite religious mindset, out of my thinking. Because I just used to always feel, you know, that the Bible says, well, you see, I forgot the first few words. And many times that quoted, that money is the root of all evil. It is not. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And I didn't understand that. And I just thought, you know, money was bad and dirty. And I've never really understood money, if I'm honest. God, I married an ex-banker because I hadn't got a clue. And really, that's the truth. And I try and I do learn. But when Paolo and I were dating, and back then he wasn't Paolo, he was still Paul, because I didn't yet know him well enough to give him a pet name. And he very quickly picked up this about me, that I kind of thought money was yucky. I didn't ever want to talk about money. I didn't want to think about money. I was at Bible school and struggling to get by. I had a part-time job earning £60 a week. My rent was £55 a week. So after I'd tithed my £6, I was minus a pound. And I was struggling, and God was so good, and every now and then I would come down in a morning and there would be an envelope stuffed through my door, through my letterbox, just with cash stuffed in it. That happened so many times, and then other times out the blue I'd get a call from companies I used to work with saying, Joe, we know you're doing some religious stuff, but we just need a bit of what you've got. Can you do this project in the evenings? And I'd be like, yes, you know, and so I was in get-by mode. And then at this time, when my husband and I were still just dating, we sat down one day in a cafe, and he looked across at me and he said, Joe. I said, yeah. And in fact, I probably went, yes, because I was like giddy in love. And he said, what would you do if you had £1 million? And I remember going, wow, what would I do? And I sat there for maybe 3-4 minutes talking about everything that I would do if I had £1 million. I was talking about the places I would send it, the people I would help, those who are in poverty that I would make sure could eat. And I talked for quite some time. And then when I'd finished, he didn't interrupt me. I looked back at him and he then looked at me and he said, and Joe, who would you rather had £1 million? A gambler, a pimp, or a pusher, or you? And I remember in that moment, it was like a penny dropped. For those watching from another nation, that just means I suddenly got it. And I sat there and thought, wow. You know, all this time, I was seeing money as dirty rather than money as a means to an end, rather than money as a way to prove my faithfulness to God and as a way of helping other people. You see, it says, let me read it again in Proverbs 29, verse 2, that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Why? Because we get righteous laws being passed, because we get righteous cultures developing in organizations, because we get righteous expenditure where money is being invested in the right things in society, in communities. And then we get the right things happening. You see, there is a link between us making that decision. And there's not always a link. You know what? Mother Teresa gave her life doing the will of God. But for some of you, God really has called you to become those who will arise and will become wealthy kingdom finances, those who God can trust, those who will become distributors. What did Joseph become? He became the distributor, you know, 7 years of abundance in Egypt, and Joseph was in charge of it, and he stockpiled all this grain, all this food, so that when famine came, he had the answer. and was able to bring deliverance and salvation to two nations where there would have been whole-scale death. So let's go back to Isaac. He sowed in that land because there was a need, there was a problem. You see, for some of you, God is just saying, I want to give you a solution to a problem, an idea. I want to show you issues out there right now. Maybe you've been hearing that one of the awful escalations that we're seeing in this period of lockdown is in domestic violence. It breaks my heart. You know, imagine women, and sometimes it's men, but people who are in relationships where there was already violence before, and then suddenly those homes are locked down. And suddenly what was a sporadic issue, and maybe every now and then they were beaten up because, you know, that person who did the beating, and they need help too. Oh my goodness. Anyone who's that bound up with anger and violence has clearly had it done to them, has clearly been beaten, has been the victim of violence themselves, I have no doubt. But imagine those homes where suddenly something was sporadic becoming daily. Now maybe God's speaking to you right now about something that you're going to do to help the victims of violence. Maybe God's giving you a business idea. You see, what God gave Isaac was a business idea. You know, one of the things I love about the Jewish people is you put them anywhere, and what do? They come up with ideas. You put Jewish people, you take them out of a terrible circumstance where millions have been wiped out and the remnant come out, and then you put them anywhere in the world, and what do? They come up with an idea. They come up with a solution to a problem in that place. And yes, of course, God then prospers them because he favors them. But what are they doing? They're business people. They're people who say there's got to be an answer to the problem. There's got to be a solution. You see, right now, what is the world in? Isaiah 60, verse 2. Deep darkness covers the earth and darkness the people. But God says that his light is going to arise upon you. His glory is going to be seen upon you. And the Bible says that the Gentiles will come to the brightness of his shining on you, and kings will come. Why would Gentiles and kings come to someone? See, that isn't just, wow, look. No, the light is because that person is bringing light in the darkness. They've got solutions to problems. They've got answers to questions. They're bringing what is needed to the people around them. And suddenly, you know, anyone who ends up being raised up and ends up being known, it's because they're bringing something to the world. And you know what? You have a light on the inside of you. You have a light shining on the inside of you. And the Bible says, don't let that light be under a bushel. Let your light shine. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord will be seen upon you. But what is it that you need to arise into? Well, if you don't know yet, and that's good, doesn't matter. What are you going to do? You're going to ask until you hear. You're going to seek until suddenly you go, oh my goodness. Let me give you just a small example from my life. So when I heard that lockdown had been extended, something went off on the inside of me. And for a long time, I've known that I needed to do more with my books, that there are many people in parts of the world that are not going to get hold of them, that are not going to read. Some can read, some can't read. Others don't like to read. But also there's something about actually being able to minister with your voice into someone's home. And when I heard about the extension of lockdown, something on the inside, I was like, no, no. And I said, that's it. I know. I am going to get up. And during lockdown, as vengeance to the devil, I am going to record and film our first ever online course. And we recorded it last week. Our first ever online course, Dream Stealers, How to Stop Your Destiny Being Stolen. We recorded our first online course dealing with seven heart diseases that try and hold people back. What's my point? You see, there's a problem out there. And the solution I can bring isn't the one you can bring. The solution I can bring is digging deep and saying, God, what have you given me that people need? And then finding a way and saying, God, we're going to get this gift that is not a gift for... You see, when God gives you a gift, it's not for you, it's for others. God gives you a gift to share because he loves other people. He doesn't give you a gift because he loves you. He loves you. Full stop, period, end of debate. He just loves you unconditionally, eternally, forever. But he gives you a gift because he loves other people. And he wants you to dig deep right now and say, God, what is the gift that you want me to share? How can I share it? Teach me to think a little like Jewish people think. Teach me to see problems and then to seek you for solutions. Make me someone who's a problem solver. You see, I want to tell you three things about the way you were made. Number one, you were made to lead. Yeah. You might go, oh, I'm not a leader. Oh, my goodness. No. I remember once a man who had four children when I had just one, and we were running a leadership class in our church, and he said, oh, gosh, I don't know if I can lead. I said, hang on a minute. You're already leading. You have four children, and that's the toughest leadership you'll ever do, is raising children. All the parents said, amen. But you see, it says in Genesis 1, 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And the first statement that he made about you, right now I want you to say, speak it out loud. Say, God said this about me. He said, let them have dominion. You were made to lead. What is dominion? Dominion is influence. Dominion is authority. And we just read in Proverbs, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. You see, when you arise, and when you lead, when you step into the place, the posture that you were made to be in, when you get into your lane and do your thing, you see, when I get out of my lane, I ain't got much to say that's really worth listening to. But if I stay in my lane, oh, then I know that God can use me. You need to discover your lane. Get in your lane and then stay in your lane, but know that you were made to lead. Dominion is leadership. Secondly, you were made creative. You know, one thing I don't like is when I hear Christians say, I'm not creative. Let me tell you, that's impossible. It's impossible. Why? Because you are made in the image of God, and the first thing God did was create. You are creative. You see, we're not all painters. I live in a family where three out of four of my family are so musical. And yes, you guessed, it's the other three. I mean, you know, my daughter just instinctively harmonizes. And I used to try for years. Oh my goodness, I've never told her this, but for years, I used to try and harmonize. And I can harmonize to one song. You know, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. And then I can do that one note where I suddenly harmonize. But that took me like 2 years of practice. You see, the music side, I love to sing, and I sing in the spirit, But beyond that, you know, I learned the guitar, and I used to play the guitar in my house when I first got married. I would play and sit there and sing and play. And then one day I was going out to minister in High Wycombe, in Buckinghamshire, and I said to my husband, oh, I'm going to bring my guitar and bless the people. And he said, leave it at home, sweetheart. I was like, what? And he said, if you want to bless the people, leave it at home. He said, you bless the Lord, but you will not bless the people. I got over it, left the guitar at home. You see, we're not all creative in the same way. You might not be artistic, you might not be musical, but you are creative. There's a solution God wants to give you. There's an answer he wants to bring to you. You see, when it comes to words, you see, I can be creative when it comes to words. Oh my goodness, if you know me well, you know I love alliteration. And to me, it's just such joy. What's alliteration? When everything starts the same letter. I shared a message once, and it was like, two traits to help you triumph in the trial. And my husband was like, no, my love. That was too many T's. And my daughter's like, oh, mummy, please, just like cut down on the alliteration. But you see, when it comes to words, I can be creative. You are creative. And right now, the world needs imaginative, creative people who will come up with ideas that are going to bring answers to the problem that this world is experiencing. You know, let me say something else. Some of you, I just heard it in the spirit, someone going, but I keep coming up with ideas. And I have too many ideas, and that's my problem. And this might not be many of you, but you know what? You see, sometimes when you are very, very creative, you do have many. And that's fine to just try and work out where is it that I'm supposed to really focus. But when you suddenly discover, oh my goodness, when I do this, everyone goes, wow. When I focus on this area, everyone's excited. That is a sign that that is the area where you can really, really do well, where you can succeed, where you can bring light to the darkness. So number one, you were made to lead. Say it. I was made to lead. Say it like you sound like you believe it. You know, we can go, I was made to lead. And the devil is not going to be convinced. And nor will any of your family members. And if you're on your own, you won't be convinced. Right now, say it strongly. I was made to lead. Secondly, declare, I am creative because I'm made in the image of the Creator. Number three, you are anointed. You know, I remember the day when I first realized that I could sense God's presence, not only when I was about to minister or pray for someone, or pray for the sick, or love someone. But I remember when I first felt the anointing in the workplace. And it was during a time when I was in interim management. I was working for a big government quango as their interim director of maybe marketing and communications. And I remember walking into a meeting and saying, God, I just pray for wisdom. Lord, help me. And as I sat down in this meeting, I just felt the anointing descend upon me. And I was almost distracted because I was just so amazed at this extraordinary sense of God's presence going with me into a boardroom. You see, what does it say in 1 John 2:20? Because you might be saying, oh, I'm not anointed. That's just for preachers. That's just for leaders. That's just for worship and musicians. And 1 John 2:20 is written to the body of Christ. So right now I say, that's me. And it says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You see, this means that there is anointing that abides. It says later in the same chapter that we have an anointing that abides, that remains. In other words, let me put it like this. When you show up to work, the anointing shows up. When you walk into your bedroom and sit at your computer, ready to start to pray and think about a new business idea, the anointing showed up at your computer. You see, you know all things. And later on in the same chapter, it says you don't need a teacher. Of course, we all need teachers. But what it's saying is you don't depend upon a teacher, because the anointing is your teacher. Because as you shut your eyes, seek, knock, ask, pray, suddenly you're just going to know deep on the inside what the answers are, what the solutions are. Yes, sometimes I hear God. Sometimes I see in the spirit, but other times I just know. I just know deep inside what I'm supposed to do. And that's because of the anointing that abides, that remains, that lives on the inside of each one of us. You were made to lead, you are creative, and you are anointed. Hallelujah. You know, just as we start to bring this to a close, Deuteronomy 8 verse 18 says, the Lord your God, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers. You see, something else that the Jewish people had was an understanding of covenant, an understanding of the establishment of something, of generational blessing. You see, God wants to do something in you that will give glory to him. He wants to put resources in your hands that will enable his kingdom to come, that will enable his kingdom to increase. And of the increases of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Right now, I want to ask you to do something. Thank you, Aaron. I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to say yes to Jesus in a new way. I want to ask you to make a decision that I'm going to become a problem solver. I'm going to become someone who is part of the solution to the terrible problems facing this world right now. That I'm going to arise and shine. And how am I going to do that? By finding out from the Lord, what is it that you want to do through me? You see, he's saying to you, he's going to work this together for your good, but not just for your good. He never wants good to stop with us. He wants it to start with us. He wants to work it together for your good so that you can bring good into the lives of so many others. And what better time than lockdown to seek the face of the Lord and to hear afresh from heaven about how he wants to use you. Thank you, Jesus. Like I said, for some of you, he's going to give you ministry ideas. For others, business ideas. For others, he's going to put people in your community on your heart. For others, he's changing your attitude, where suddenly you're realizing, I need to learn from the Jewish people, from God's chosen people originally, and I need to learn from that mindset that wherever they're put, they will seek to become an entrepreneur. Wherever they're put, they will prosper, they will succeed, they will become a blessing to many. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, I just want you to shut your eyes, and I just want to declare Psalm 60 over you. So right now, why don't you stand to your feet, wherever you are in your living room. I know that God is going to be dropping solutions into your heart. The righteous are about to be raised into authority. So right now, with your eyes shut and your hands raised as that sign of surrender, I'm going to declare the word of the Lord over you. And he says, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness covers the earth and deep darkness the people. But I will arise over you, says the Lord, and my glory will be seen upon you. and Gentiles will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your shining and your rising. Lift up your eyes and see. Father, in Jesus' name, bless each one. Thank you that this period will work for good in us and through us for the blessing of many. Thank you, Jesus. And just right now, before I finish, if you're watching today and you don't know this Jesus as your best friend, as your helper, as your counselor, then He wants to introduce Himself to you. He wants to come into your heart and life. So right now, I'd just love to lead you in prayer with your eyes shut. If I can just lead you in prayer, it's the best decision you'll ever make. Just say, Heavenly Father, I'm sorry that I've lived my life my own way. I'm sorry for all the things that I've done that have been wrong. I'm sorry that I'm a sinner. Today, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my life. I ask you to forgive everything I've ever done wrong. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Have your way in my life from this day forth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Please do email us and let us know if you prayed that prayer. We want to bless you. We want to send you some material. So just you email office@harvestchurch.org.uk and we want to keep in touch with you. God bless you. Thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you again very soon.